Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. It's time for our weekly book review, and today we're raiding the bookshelf of Charmaine Lovegrove, co-founder of page-to-screen consultancy Dialogue Scouting. In our stack of books today is a collection of short stories by Helen Oyeyemi under the title What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours, the latest novel by award-winning author Chris Cleave, and the final memoir of writer Jenny Diski, who passed away just a week after the release of her book Ingratitude. All that coming up on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. Stay tuned. You might know the British-Nigerian writer Helen Oyeyemi for her novel The Icarus Girl, which she wrote as a teenager. She has since produced four more novels and two plays, and this spring she has released a collection of short stories entitled What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours, which plays with ideas of social and personal justice. Charmaine, welcome to the show. What initially drew you to this book?
I just really love Helen's work. You know, I just think she's a young black African European woman, and she's just writing in a way that people will not expect. And she's bringing in, you know, the celebration that we have of kind of African, European, or African American writing. She's not writing on those themes and those tropes. So it's always really refreshing to kind of see a new book by her and know that you're going to just be taken into like this sort of very magical, fantastical world. And her writing reminds me of being a child and just sort of wanting to be sort of wrapped up and being taken away to somewhere completely different, that I'm not knowing where I'm going to end up.
When you mention those writers who write about things you might expect, who are you thinking of there?
Well, I'm just thinking of, you know, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Like, you know, I absolutely, and Purple Hibiscus, Half of the Yellow Sun, I absolutely love her work. And she brings, you know, Americana. I mean, I cut my hair from being relaxed to afro because I was so inspired by what she had to say. And those books are really, really important. You know, Chikozie and the Fisherman, you know, those books on kind of like the world of Africa brought to us today is sort of super important. I just think it's great to have a black writer who isn't writing on the subject of blackness.
It's interesting. I mean, you mentioned that she kind of challenges a lot of expectations. Short stories are a good medium or a good genre for that, because we come to short stories with a lot of expectations as readers. We expect certain kind of plot twists and certain turns and certain conclusions. And she kind of defies all of those, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting kind of looking just generally at like short stories at the moment. And there's been a few novelists like Lucy Caldwell, who's just brought out a short story collection. And I think it's a really interesting medium that novelists are kind of going back to, having been told that we don't want short stories. I think it's really fascinating to be able to kind of pinpoint a place or a scene or a culture within a very finite amount of words. And what Helen does really is they're almost like sort of mini novellas. They're kind of slightly longer than short stories, not quite as long as novellas. And there's so there, I'm sure there is a word for it and a phrase for it, but it's just some, sort of something in between. So you're in this sort of very expansive world with lots of twists and turns, and you don't really know where it's going to go. And sometimes you sort of forget what the beginning was, and then it's, you know, she neatly kind of stitches it back up together. It's like she opens it up and then she stitches it back up together, and then you're like, wow, I've just been on this really incredible journey. And I think you can't really ask more from a storyteller.
And she uses kind of tropes that we would associate with fairy tales and kind of mythology with the modern day.
Absolutely, but she's sort of more obsessed with like the everyday than the modern day. And I think, but she's really obsessed with like lock and keys and, you know, sealed spaces and secret gardens and, yeah, like all of these tropes that you can see the Brothers Grimm and you can see bits of Chekhov and, you know, but she has enough of her own voice for you to really understand that this really is her writing. She holds herself very, very well on the page.
What Is Not Yours Is Not Yours by Helen Oyeyemi is out now, published by Riverhead Books. Our second book today takes us to London via Malta with World War II as a backdrop. Everyone Brave Is Forgiven is the latest novel by award-winning and chart-topping author Chris Cleave, and muses on the nature of courage and the upending of life during war. Charmaine, where does this story kind of unfold and how does it unfold?
What's really incredible about this story is that you have three main characters that you are following with the backdrop of World War II. And we have Mary North, who is a socialite who becomes a teacher, again against her parents' wishes. We have Tom Shaw, who works for the Education Authority in North London, and we have Alistair Heath, who is a junior restorer at the Tate. So Alistair goes off to war and leaves his best friend Tom behind, and he lives in a garret in North London. Mary, you know, she embarks on this career as a teacher, and she meets this young boy who's a black boy whose father is a minstrel in the show, in the shows of London. It's a really harrowing story to kind of understand the race, the racism and the culture that prevails despite the harrowing entities of war and what people are going through. Even if you don't have any money, you can still somehow be racist. What we're really going through is like Alistair in Malta, you know, fighting for Britain, Mary fighting for her own life in London, and also fighting for the lives of these children and fighting to educate them, and Tom being totally in love with Mary. And so it's a total kind of love story that you just get absolutely swept up in.
We should mention as well that the story is kind of based loosely on Cleve's own family history. When you look at this book, you know, the wartime Britain, wartime London has been well documented in novels, films and history books as well. What do you think really makes this book stand out? I mean, is it the race sort of angle, or is it the way he tells the story?
I just don't think we've really seen like class and race and culture in the sort of battle for of like World War II. I don't really feel as though we've understood like what children were doing. You know, there's one point where Mary can't understand why they're evacuating their animals before they're from the zoos, before they're evacuating the children, and gets really angry about this, and the whole thing's explained to her. But you know, there's so many details of things that I would never have thought of, and that I haven't really seen before, that I think under Chris Cleve's magical hand is really, really brought alive. And I really love everything that he writes. And this was like a huge surprise to me, just because it's so illuminating in its storytelling. And the race and the culture, the class system, you know, how bombed East London was comparatively to Pimlico. You know, I really felt that I was in London, like walking the streets with these characters, and that I could really feel their pain and their passion for the city.
I mean, when you kind of go through the basic storyline, it sounds like quite a kind of sobering read. But The Independent has called it unexpectedly lighthearted. How did you find the tone of the book? I mean, is there a sort of a lighter edge to it?
I think that, you know, there's a human edge, and they do laugh, and, you know, they do cry, and they do grieve, and in the end, what they're fighting to be is like humans who love. And so if I think that's what lightens it, is that sort of sparkle and magic of when you're falling in love. Mary falls in love twice, and I don't want to give too much away of who her two suitors are. But, you know, she falls in love twice in the story, and then, but really three times, because she also falls in love with a little boy, and there's the love for her best friend Hilda, who we also meet. And then there's this real sort of feminist heroism that we also come across when Mary and Hilda learn how to drive ambulances. And so there's just taking yourself out of your comfort zone and doing everything that you can. And I just don't really think we've seen it from this perspective.
Everyone Brave is Forgiven by Chris Cleve is out now, published by Sceptre. Finally, we turn to the late Jenny Diskey, who sadly passed away at the end of April, just a week after our next book was released. Ingratitude is its title, and the decision to write it came after Diskey was diagnosed with inoperable lung cancer back in 2014. Rather than being another memoir on dealing with cancer, however, Diskey delves back in time to tell the story of her relationship with the writer Doris Lessing, who took her in as a teenager when her parents couldn't cope with her. Charmaine, Diskey is such an interesting character. Her writing doesn't always take you where you would expect, I guess. What sort of journey do we go on here?
Jenny Diskey was a marvellous writer, and it's really sad to already be saying was, because having worked for the London Review of Books, you know, I've spent a lot of time with her writing over the last 15 years. And, you know, she is very plain speaking. She is very, you know, platitude free. And, you know, this book takes you on the journey of her treatment, her youth, adulthood, friendship, women, drugs, you know, home, abuse at home, leaving home. There's just writing, culture, everything that's in a life is in this book.
And how much do we kind of flip between the present day and go back to her past? I mean, is there quite a fine balance between those two?
In 2014, when she found out that she was diagnosed, it was August. And by September, she was already writing for the London Review of Books. So this collection has already been published. Excerpts have been published as a diary. And so because it's sort of musings and memories and it's sort of memoir in its most rawest form, you know, it really is a memory of someone's life. So this idea of kind of going back and forth between time and rather than being linear like an autobiography is sort of, you know, I think it's a really important aspect of her writing. And, you know, you really feel that in every moment that she's writing about, it's sort of that recollection is very clear.
And she's obviously the central voice in this, but Doris Lessing sort of is a huge part of it as well. How much do we learn about Lessing here?
A huge amount. You know, as I said, I've met Jenny and I've read a lot of her work, and I didn't really know about her relationship with Doris Lessing. And, you know, Doris Lessing won the Nobel Prize. You know, she was one of our most extraordinary writers, as was Jenny Diskey. And so this, you know, it's sort of mind-blowing to learn that at 15 years old, because she was friends with her son, Lessing took Diskey in. And, you know, Diskey was a real disappointment, or felt she was a real disappointment to Lessing, because it's almost like Lessing could see that she was made of greater things and that she was sort of wasting herself in those ages between 15 and 19, that she wasn't sort of focused. And, Jenny was just out and about and just trying to live her life. And I think, you know, Jenny feels as though she was always a huge disappointment to Doris Lessing. And that disappointment sort of really looms large throughout the whole memoir.
And when she looks back on those years between 15 and 19, is she a bit scornful of her younger self, or is she a bit more understanding perhaps now?
I think, you know, with the last book, Everyone Brave is Forgiven, I think that she could also take that mantra on. I think that, you know, that's a really interesting way of framing her and her life and how she sees herself. And in the end, she's only human. And of course, you can apologise for your past behaviour, but then she wouldn't be who she was without that.
And can you see her kind of purposefully challenging some of the cliches of, I guess we call it the cancer memoir? Is she going against a lot of the things that, you know, you might expect from a book written in her situation?
Yeah, so, you know, she was friends with and read the memoirs of Oliver Sacks and Clive James, you know, dealing with cancer. And, you know, she just didn't ever want to be seen as a victim, and she never wanted to be seen as, you know, that she was struggling or that there was a fight. I feel as though this story was just like she owned her story. And I saw her agent, Peter Strauss, last night, and he was describing being at her home on the Thursday before she died, when they'd managed to get the books to her in Cambridge. And, you know, he just said she couldn't get out of bed, but she was just smiling and she was happy and she had a great life and she lived exactly the life that she wanted to live. And it's all there in those pages. And it's really inspiring as a woman, as somebody who will know people that encounter cancer, as someone who loves writing. It's, you know, it's a really, really strong, it's a really, really strong title, and I'm really pleased to have read it.
Ingratitude by Jenny Diskey is out now, published by Bloomsbury. And that, I'm afraid, brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks very much to my guest, Charmaine Lovegrove. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. This show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our film review. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks very much for listening.